Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Mem Zayin. We will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud El Amar Rava. In our previous shiur, we had a discussion that the Gemara said that even Rav Shimon agrees that a candle, while it's lit, may not be moved. And the Gemara wanted to understand why. Because as the Gemara discussed, Rav Shimon's opinion is, as we've learned many times, Baruch Hashem, that a davar she'eino miskaven, something which is not intended, is not osur on Shabbos. So why may you not move the candlestick on Shabbos? The concern that it may go out while I'm moving it is not a concern according to Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon holds a davar she'eino miskaven is mutter, says the Gemara. Ela amar Rava, the reason. The issue of a lamp and the oil and the wick should be left to the side, because there's a new type of muksa which even Rav Shimon will agree to, and that's hoil v'nasas basus l'davar asur. All of these different items which really ought not to be muksa are tuffle, a secondary to the flame, which is muksa. And the Gemara is teaching us now a new halacha, that a basis l'davar asur, something which is a base to something which is asur, also becomes asur. And the concern is not because the fire may get extinguished. So of course there's a fundamental question, what makes the flame muksa? The Chazon Ish says that a flame is not meant to be moved. So even though you're allowed to have hanor from the flame, but since the flame is not meant to be moved, that's why it's muksa, because it's meant to be kept in one spot. The Michel Shloimeh, Rav Shloimeh Zalman, in the Tshuvas, Chelek Aleph, Simen Yudalid, Ois Aleph, questions the opinion of the Chazon Ish. First of all, he says that people do move lamps. So why are we saying that's not meant to be moved? So he says that since the light, the only thing that's muksa is the light itself, and since the light itself doesn't really have any substance to it, and it can't be moved, you can't move a flame, and therefore it's considered muksa. In fact, this point that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach makes, which he's using to teach us why is the Shalheves considered muksa, is a very important regarding a concept that we're going to speak about soon in our Shir Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch today. We're going to learn that something which is a basis l'davar asur u'mutter, it's a basis both to something which is asur and mutter, the halach is, we have to look, what is more chashiv, the davar muksa, the davar asur, the davar mutter. So of course the question that comes up as we have this discussion is, if we have a candelabra on the table, so your table should be considered, like our Gemara just said, a basis l'davar asur. Why is it not considered a basis l'davar asur? Because people are careful to leave on their tables before Shabbos something which is mutter, chalas, a sefer, etc. And then it becomes basis l'asur or mutter. But now the question is, you have your candelabra, expensive candelabra, and you have a challah that cost a few dollars. So how could you say that the challah is more choshev than the candelabra, and therefore that your table should be considered a basis l'davar asur or mutter? And not only is it considered a basis l'davar asur or mutter, but that the davar mutter is considered more chashiv than davar asur. The challah is considered more chashiv than the candlestick. Difficult question that many paiskim discuss. So the Shaar Metzion Balocha discusses this issue, and he says, and he actually follows the same approach as Rav Shlomo Zalman. He says when we look at a basis l'davar, we look at the isser on a candelabra, it's not the candelabra that's asur, it's just the flame, as Rav Shlomo Zalman said. So if you compare the flame to the challah, the flame to the sefer, or the flame to the other items on your table, there the davar mutter is more chashiv. The Kozel Gavarov and the Shalas Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, Chelek Aleph, Simen, Kuf Yud Ches, says, it doesn't, when we speak about bosses, it doesn't mean that the bosses becomes bottle, becomes negligible versus the Dover Ha'asur. It means that since the bosses serves the Dover Asur, so since it serves the Dover Asur, it becomes like the Dover Asur, since it's here to serve it. And therefore, since the candelabra is here to serve the flame, that's why the candelabra becomes Bosses L'Dover Asur. The Halacha Bosses we see from here applies even in a situation where it wasn't meant to be there for the whole Shabbos. Because as we've been discussing in this perek, the candle is certainly going to go out on Shabbos. As the Gemara said in Daf Mem Vav Amabez in our previous year, Odom Yoshev Mitzapa Emesai Tchabeneira. So now the question is, according to Rav Shimon, asked the Rishonim, the Rajba asked this question, the Balamor, the Ran, all asked this question, according to Rav Shimon, that says that something that we know is not going to remain muksa for the duration of Shabbos is not muksa. So why over here, yes, it's a bosses or davar asur. So still, since it's going to go out, it should mean that it's not, it should make that it's not muksa. So the Rashba explains that since we're not allowed to move a flame while it's on, since you're not allowed to move the flame while it's on, it's a different type of muksa than the other muksas we've been discussing. And therefore, when we speak, even though when we spoke about other muksas, the halacha is there, according to Rav Shimon, doesn't subscribe to the concept of migid is katzoy leben hashmashes, is katzoy lekula yoyma, here he will subscribe to that concept. So now we have a question. If we've established that a bosses l'davar osser is osser, so the Shalas Tshuvas Chelkas Yaakov, Oyre Chaim Simen Kuf Yud Ches, asks, so why are you allowed to move an electric blanket on Shabbos? There are electric coils. Electricity should be muksa. So the Chelkas Yaakov is mechadish, that something that doesn't really have any substance to it is not considered, something that doesn't really have any substance to it is not considered something that we have to reckon with. And therefore electricity, since it's not something that we could tap onto, is not considered muksa. And Rav Henkin Zatzal, actually, in a Sefer Eidus L'Yisrael, uses this concept as well for people who need to wear a hearing aid on Shabbos. So he says, of course, when we speak about a hearing aid, we have to be very careful, says Rav Henkin, not to adjust the hearing aid. That certainly is also on Shabbos. But to say that a hearing aid is considered a bosses l'davar asur because it has in it a battery, the fact that it has battery, which is an electricity, doesn't make something into a bosses. And that's why you're allowed to wear a battery-operated watch on Shabbos. Again, not going into the other issues of where you're allowed to wear or where you're not allowed to wear a watch on Shabbos, just speaking about the issue of is a battery-operated watch muksa, the halach is that a battery-operated watch is certainly not muksa. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rab Zeira, Amar Rab Asi, Amar Rab Yochanan, Amar Rab Chanina, Amar Rab Mumnas. Li heter Rebbe. Rebbe gave me a heter, letaltel machta ba'afra, to move a pan that had in it ashes. This was a pan that they used to use to burn incense. So it's a kli shemlachta l'isser. A kli shemlachta l'isser may be moved, as we've learned, l'tzarech gufa mekama. Here, this pan had in it ashes, which were muksa. And he said, I still may move it on Shabbos, even though the Afer is muksa. And even though that should make that the pan should be considered a bosses l'davar asur, still, a tzarech gufa mekuma kaimai, The halacha is he allowed him to removed it. There's a machlokes rishonim. According to whose opinion is this being stated? It seems that according to Rashi, this is only being stated according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we've been learning in our entire perek, has this stricter view on Hilchas Muksa. And therefore he considers Efer Muksa. But Rav Shimon would be lenient and hold that Efer is not Muksa, because Efer could be used to cover up some dirt on the floor. Tosfos, however, Divrei Maskali disagrees, and Tosfos says that according to Rav Shimon, Efer would be considered Muksa. Because even though it could be used for a purpose, it's Noilad. We're talking about a situation, explains Tosfos, where this Efer was formed on Shabbos. And Tosfos says that Rav Shimon agrees that something which came into creation on Shabbos would be considered, Rav Shimon would agree, is considered Muksa. So we have a machlokes according to whom the Gemara is going here. Amalei Rav Zeira Levasi, Mi Amar Brachin Hachi, how did he say, you'll add to Mudis V'Tanan? We learned in a Mishnah, Noitel, in Daf Kuf Mem Aleph and Beis, Noitel Adam B'noi, Heaven B'yodai, you'll add to carry a son, even though he's carrying a stone, which is Muksa. Oikal Kola, or you could carry a basket, V'Evan B'toichai, with a stone in it. Even though stone is obviously Muksa. Everybody agrees that a stone is Muksa Mach Maskufai. What's the situation that we are referring to? We're talking about a basket full of Paris. And therefore, as I mentioned a moment ago, that's why it's not considered a bosses, Ladover Osir, because it's a bosses, Ladover Osir, Vra Mutter. And since it's a bosses, Ladover Osir, Mutter, that's why it may be moved. Tama. So what do we see from here? This by Peira, because it has fruit on it, and that's why it's Bosses L'davar Osro Mutter. Halas by Peira, if there were no fruit in this basket, loy, it would not be Mutter to carry it, because it's a Bosses L'davar Osro. So how was Rabbi Yochan allowing him to carry the Machta, which has in it Muksa? And Rabbi Yochanan, as we learned on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that so even if we're going to follow Rashi's approach that this Gemara is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's still difficult because we learned earlier in the Perek that Rabbi Yochanan and Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara could have given a teretz that it's a situation of Shochach that we spoke earlier in our Perek that if somebody forgot the Muksa on the table, the halacha is that it's not considered Muksa. So says the Sfas Emes that it's obvious that that's not the case. Because the Gemara, when it discusses this halacha later in the Masechta, says that if you can move the Peiris out of the basket and therefore not need to move the Muksa, that's what you should do. Now, if we would be talking about a case of Shochach, why would you need to do that? Says the Gemara, Ishtaimika Shochada, he remained quiet for a moment. Throughout Shas, whenever we have such a situation where somebody's asked a question and he can't immediately answer, there's a pasuk in Daniel that says, Ishtaimika Shochada, he remained quiet for a moment. Then for Omar, he says, Hachinami, we're going to have to explain that this is talking about a case, this by Karten, that in the mixture with the ashes, there's some granules of not burnt incense, so there's still Dovra Mutter, and that's why it's a Bosses L'Dovra Heter and Mutter. And as the Chiddush, so what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that something that's a Bosses L'Hisser L'Heter doesn't get that lock of a Bosses. That's one Chiddush. The other Chiddush is that, as we're going to see, a very important halacha, when measuring if something is a bosses l'issa or a heter, it's a subjective measure. We look at what's choshev to you to make that determination. Amar Abaya, and that's why Abaya asked the question, katan be Rebbe Michshivi, We know throughout Shas that Rebbe's home was a very wealthy home, and therefore these few granules of incense are certainly not significant to him. And therefore they're not significant to him, it should not be considered a bosses, l'dova eser, or mutter. And you'll answer, chazlanim. They may not be significant to Rebbe, but to a poor person, they are chashiv, and that should make it into a bosses list of a heter. Ask the Gemara, for Tanya, we learned a braisa regarding Hilchas Tumah. And we spoke earlier in our Masechta that garments, pieces of material, can become tamei. Taisus points out the Remaskal big day that we're talking here about Tumah Smedris. There's a special type of Tumah that somebody sits on the Tumah in certain situations. The Mishkav of Moshev Shel Azov, what the Zov sits on, becomes an Ava Tumah. And by the Tumah Smedris, there is a difference. Is this something that you would sit on or would you not sit on? But by other types of tumas, there we don't make this distinction. If it's the right size, then it's tumay, and if it's not the right size, it's not tumay. But be whatever the case may be, big day anim, if you have a piece of material which is usable for a poor person, so then it's laniim, it comes tumay for a poor person. Big day ashirim, a piece of material that's useful for a rich person, l'ashirim, then that becomes makabel tumah for ashirim. As we learned earlier in Amasechta, the shear by an ani is sholosh al sholosh etzbos. The shear by an usher is sholosh, is shloisha al shloisha tfachim. However, avdaniim, a beged which is meant to be used, which is useful for an ani, will not be tamei for an usher. So here too, these leftover pieces of incense may have value to an ani, but in the home of Rebbe, it has no value. So how could I make this pan a boss's loss of a heter because it has the carton? Elam Abaya. Abaya gives us a new reason. Midah half a graf shorei. But we see clearly from here, as I've mentioned previously in our shir, that when are we going to determine if something is mux or not, we look at the owner of the material. And therefore, it becomes extremely subjective. You could have the same material, the carton, these pieces of incense, that in the home of Rebbe, they will not be considered chashiv, and in the home of somebody else, it may be considered chashiv. Tosfos also points out, what happens if you have something which is significant in the home of an ani? And therefore, as I just said, it's not muksa. And an usher comes to the home of the ani. So says Taisus, since to this ani, it's not, so Taisus later in the Masechta, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amabez, the very maskul kivan, since, as we just said, to the owner of this object, it's not muksa. So when I, the usher, come to his house, it's not muksa for me as well. The Taz says, how do we understand Taisus? That if this item, which might be muksa, might not be muksa, is in the home of the ani, and since in the home of the ani it's not muksa, then the halach is that it's not muksa for the usher when he's in the ani's home. But let's say it'll be in the home of an usher, which, as we just learned in the Gemara, it's muksa. So then, it'll be muksa for the ani as well, even though for them it's a davar chashiv. Everything goes after the owner. So how can we move this out? Elam Abaye, midah have a graf sharei. It's a new heter. There's a heter that we're going to learn that something which is particularly repugnant, even though it's muksa, may be removed from the house. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rava Chei Tshuvas B'Davar. There are two issues with this teretz. Chada, graf sharei ma'as. What is the definition of a graf shiroi? Like we just said, something which is disgusting. V'hailoi mos. There's nothing disgusting about this pan that has the ashes and the incense in it. Void. Graf shiroi migli. The definition of a graf shiroi is something which we could see. V'hai michsi. but this is not visible. And something which is not visible, their halacha is that it's considered, that it can't be considered a grav sharei. When we speak about the halacha of bosses l'issav heter, says the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yud Sif Katan Lamed Gimel, that let's say the Isser and Heter are of equal value, then it can't be considered a bosses l'issav heter to be mutter. It's only mutter when it's a bosses that the heter is more choshev than the Isser. As we mentioned earlier, the reason one can move the table on Shabbos, even though it had the candelabra on the table before Shabbos, is, as we said, because you put something heter on the table and it becomes a bosses list of a heter. So there's a very big chiddush from Shlomo Zalman that's quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Hilchasa. Most people, because of this halacha, that they want to be able to move their table on Shabbos, are careful before Shabbos to put on the table the chalas, the sefer, as I mentioned earlier. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, let's say somebody intended to put chalas or whatever davar mutter on the table before Shabbos, and he didn't have, and he forgot to. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, that shows that you don't want your table to be a moses l'davar osur. You just forgot to do it. And therefore will not be considered a bosses l'davar osur v'heter. However, Reb Moshe disagrees. He says that when it comes to Hilchas Muksa, the machshava that you wanted to do something is not enough. Ella Amarava, so we're back to our original question. How is he allowed to move the pan with the ash in it? Ella Amarava, Kavinim Bey Rav Nachman have a metaltinan kanuna. They used to move a kanuna. A kanuna is a keli that they cooked in, agav kutma, because it had it, which is muksa, that we're allowed to move it, because it had in it, things which agav kutma, that we wanted to use that ash on Shabbos, and since we wanted to use that ash on Shabbos, that made it not muksa. Vavagav dekala shiver eitzim, even though there were shiver eitzim which are muksa in the kanuna, since it's like what we spoke earlier in the shear, when you have a basket that has in it peiris and a stone, that you're allowed to move it. Here too, you're allowed to move the pan with the ashes that you want, in a case where you had in mind that you're going to use the ash. And since you're going to use the ash, that ash is not muksa. And even if there's something muksa in the pan, but since I want to use the ash, and I'm allowed to use the ash if I had in mind from before Shabbos that I'm going to use it, that's why it's not muksa. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, V'shavin, Shimon and Rehuda, who are arguing by a ner yoshin, if you're allowed to move it, a cheres ner yoshin, if you're allowed to move it. Rabbi Yehuda held you're not allowed to move it because it's muksa machm smiyas. Rav Shimon held you're allowed to move it. Everybody agrees, Shem b'yesh by shiver psila, that it has in it these broken pieces of psila, shaslo taltel, because they're muksa, and it became a bosses l'davar osur. So how could you move the kanuna that had in the shiver eitzim in it? It should still be osur, as we in this Dakamara also speak about a case where there were ash, and yet it said it's muksa. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye b'Galil Shana. This price was taught in the Golol, that they didn't have a lot of linen begodim. And because they didn't have a lot of linen begodim, the shivrei, the leftover linen, that was the leftover wicks that were made from that linen, were very valuable to them. And that's why it's considered a bosses to them and not to anything else. But in a place, indeed, where the leftover wicks have no value, and you have in it the shivrei eitzim, which are muksa, so then you can't move it. It will be considered a bosses l'davar osur, because the davar osur is the primary object here. As we just finished learning, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the halacha is that a bosses l'davar osur, you may not move. A bosses l'davar osur mutter, it depends what's more choshev. The halacha is that if somebody's son is carrying something which is muksa, the halacha is that you're allowed to carry him. But the halacha is that if the son is carrying a coin, then the halacha is you're not allowed to carry him. You have to make sure to shake the coin out of his hand. Because Chazal were concerned that if the child is going to drop the coin, then he's going to pick up the coin, which is a pure muksa, and it's a coin, it has value. And that's why Chazal were more concerned. If on a table, for example, something muksa was put on during Shabbos, if it wasn't there before Shabbos, so then, as we've learned, muksa can only become muksa if it was there at the beginning of Shabbos. Since it wasn't there at the beginning of Shabbos, it's not going to be considered muksa, and therefore the halacha will be as follows. As long as the muksa item is the only item on the table, even though it was only put on the table on Shabbos, the halacha still will be that it's considered muksa. But if the muksa item is put on the table on Shabbos, so yes, while it's the only item on the table, you may not move the table. But if after that item is removed from the table, or can't be removed because it's muksa, you put a davar mutar on the table, you'll be allowed to move the table. The Gemara in Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph taught us two halachas. One was regarding hilchas muksa of a candle, and the other was moving a candelabra. We discussed the concern that it may fall apart and you'll be over binyan on Shabbos. So till now we discussed the hilchas of muksa, and now our Gemara goes back to speaking about that candelabra. Says the Gemara, Levi bar Shmuel, Ashkechina l'Rav Abba l'Rav Huna bar Rav Chia, Davakayim the Pisca de Bei Rav Huna. They were both standing at the door of the home of Rav Huna, Amalhu, and he asked them the following question. Ma'al lahachsam mita shal tesayim b'Shabbos. There used to be these coppersmiths who traveled from city to city, and they used to bring the beds, portable beds, with them. So Rashi explains that the concern here is makabe patish. Others explain that the issue is binyan v'stira. The reason Rashi doesn't want to learn the pshat of binyan v'stira, because the Gemara learns, teaches us Masech Tebeya, Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, the opinion of Hillel, Beis Hillel, that ain't binyan v'stira v'kelim. So again, the question was, Malach Zemitah Shal Tesayim, could they assemble this bed on Shabbos? Amalei Shapadami, it's permissible. Osla Kameid Rabbi Yehuda, he came to Rabbi Yehuda and asked the same question. Amo Harav Shmuel Amar Tavayu, Hamach Zemitah Shal Tesayim b'Shabbos, if somebody puts together this bed in a sturdy fashion, he's chayiv chatas. He's chayiv chatas. And Rashi, in explaining the Gemara, the Rashba explains the Gemara that this is a very difficult Gemara to understand. It's uncommon that you have a machlokes with such extremes. That one says you're allowed to do it, and the other man says there's a chayiv chatas. So therefore, Rashi says the difference is if you did it sturdy or not. If you did it sturdy, it's makbe patish. Therefore, if you do it in non-sturdy fashion, that's all we're talking about. Rav and Shmuel still held its osur, not chatas, but it's osur, and Levi and Rav Abba held that it's permissible. Rav Abba and Rav Huna. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Bryce teaches us, Hamachsa kunei menorah. If somebody puts together the branches of a menorah, b'Shabbos chayiv chatas. Kaneh seiden. If somebody puts together the plasterer's pole, it's like a painter's pole that they would make taller or shorter by pulling together more pieces of the pole, screwing together more pieces of pole or not. Kaneh seiden. The halacha is lo yachser. You shouldn't put it together. V'im hechser. But if you did it, Potter, you potter, because it's not considered a malacha if you do it that way, since it's not meant to be kept like that permanently. They used to screw and unscrew these different sticks depending on the height that they needed, and therefore everybody agrees that's potter avalasa. Rav Samoy Omer, Karen Agula, there was a type of a horn that was used as an instrument. And the two pshatim, how to learn this Gemara. One pshat is that they, again, the way this was put together was it was made out of pieces that were screwed together and not together. Others, the way most Rishonim learned, the way it was made was it was like a flute, but the flute had pieces that were put into the holes. And the difference is, in a Karen Agula, they were put in tight, and that's why you chayiv chatas. But Karen Pshuta, where they're not put in tight, you potter. But what do we see? That if you put together the menorah on Shabbos, you chayiv chatas, al tzmak bepatish. Which is exactly what Rav and Shmuel said. How did Rav Abba Rav Huna say that these coppersmiths were allowed to put together the bed? Says the Gemara, Inu d'amakai tana. Rav Abba Rav Huna hold like this tana. The tanya, melabnois hamita, are bed sockets, the karas hamita, or bed legs, levachon shosakikas, or different types of nuts that were attached to make a bow and arrow. The loch is lo yachser. You shouldn't reattach them on Shabbos. Vim hichser, if you did so, the loch is pota avaloser. It's only awesome with the rabbonin. Velo yitka, and certainly should not nail them together. Vim toka, but if you do nail them together, yichayiv chatas. Or Shimon Gamliel oimer, im haya rafui, if the attachment is done in a loose manner, then it's mutter. So Abba and Rav Huna Bachia, who allowed them to put together that bed, followed the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And again, as we said earlier, so why, if he put it together loosely, were Rav and Shmuel machmer? They said, since it's done that way, it should be usher. So there's two ways of learning. One way, since it's done that way, even that's why it's osur. The other way is that indeed Rav and Shmuel held that it's not osur midaraisa, it's only osur midrabbanon, because you may come to do it in a tight way. Says the Gemara, Be Rav Chama have a mitigal anisa. In the home of Rav Chama, there was a sectional bed. Have mahadrele biyontif, and he would reassemble the bed on yontif. Omal ha'u mirabbanon l'rova, my datach. Why are you being lenient? Because it's not considered a real binyan. But ask the Gemara, Ned is sur deraisa liquor. Maybe indeed there is no issa deraisa. However, sur derabonim yika, there ought to be an issa derabonim. Amalei, so he said, Anokra of Shimon Gamliel Sfirlei, Damar, Amhaya Rafi Mutter. That if it's done in a loose manner, then the halacha is that it's mutter. And this is the halacha that's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Yud Gimel Sif Vav. However, the Beis Yosef and the Ramah both mention that it's only meant when it's not meant to be done loosely. Something which is not meant to be done loosely, the halach is that if you did it loosely, it's not considered binyan. But something which is meant to be done loosely is binyan. The Shalsa Chuvas Michas Yitzchak, Chelikhes Simon Chav Zayin, has a discussion if you're allowed to put together a needle, the two parts of an injection for a Chaylish Eibai Sakana on Shabbos, with a screw together. And the point is that since it's thrown into the garbage afterwards, maybe that's, they give the patient the injection and then it's thrown out, maybe that's not considered something significant. So he quotes a Chazon Ish, that wherever you have something that can't, that each part by itself is not usable, it's only usable when you screw them together, that's considered, he says, something which you're not allowed to do in Shabbos. There are paiskim that are more lenient. They said, since this is something which is totally not meant to be kept for any significant amount of time, that's why it's mutter. There's a discussion around this Gemara, what is, what isn't mutter. The Chai Odom says one may not wind a clock or watch on Shabbos. He says that winding a clock on Shabbos is considered makve patish. And he says you may not even ask an akum to wind your watch, even if you need it for a chayil shein by sakana. He considers winding a watch a malacha deraisa makve patish. The Panami Iris, based on our Gemara, however, holds that you may wind a watch. He says since a watch has to be wound, the watches that they had in those times had to be wound daily, so it's considered an act which doesn't have any permanence. So it's like putting legs on the collapsible bed that we discussed, especially according to the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's mutter. He says it's even better. He says because when you put the legs in the bed, there is the concern, as we're learning Shemiyotaka, that you may do it in a firm fashion. But by a watch, there is no concern of Shemiyotaka, and therefore it's mutter. The Prima Gadim says there's a difference. If the watch is still running, so the watch right now is in a usable state, and therefore winding it is not considered fixing or completing the watch. However, if it's not running, he certainly agrees with the Chaya Adam. And even if it's running, he isn't at the end ready to be completely makel. The Chaya Adam clearly says that even if it's running, unless it's a real shas atchak, the halacha is that you're not allowed to move, you're not allowed to wind or watch, even in a situation where it's still running. Says the Mishnah, nice and clear tachsaner, one may bring a keli under the candle, the kabbalah tzaitzis. There are sparks coming out on Shabbos, and you don't want the spark, chas v'shalom, to do damage to anything in the house. So the halacha is you're allowed to move the candle, you're allowed to put a keli to catch those sparks. Nice and keli tachsaner, the kabbalah tzaitzis. However, says the Mishnah, even though we're allowing you to put this keli to catch the sparks, however, you may not put water into that keli, because that extinguishes the sparks. Ask the Gemara. We learned earlier in our Masechta that you're not allowed to put a keli under a chicken to catch the egg that it lays. You're only allowed to put a keli on top of it. And the Gemara says the reason is because bitl keli meichana. The other reason the Gemara gave, Rabbi said, because ein keli nitel el tzarech davar hanitel. So now the question is, so according to Rabbi, who says that you're allowed to put a keli to protect an egg, because it's a hatzala mitzuya, so Rabbi would maybe say you're allowed to put the candle, the bowl, to catch the sparks. Because again, for the same reason, it's Atzala Mitzuya. But according to the Manda Omer, that says that you never let it take it for something, even for Atzala Mitzuya, so how could you take this keli for the catch the sparks? Answers the Gemara. You're being Mavata Keli Mechana. As we said, Rashi says it's maybe Binyan, it's maybe Stira. Answers the Gemara. Omer Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. The tzaitus ein b'mamish. And the pasuk pshat is, since they're going to go out right away, and since they're going to go out right away, they're not considered, that doesn't make it be considered bitl keli meichana. However, says the Magen Avraham, in Simen Reish Samachay Sif Katan Vav, that before they go out, you will not be allowed to move this bowl that has the sparks on it. So ask the Rosh Yosef, why? You can't say that the keli is bottled to the spark that's going to go out in a minute. And you can't say that the reason he says is that by moving the keli, you're causing the spark to go out, because that's considered, that's a Dovah Shein HaMiskaven. And Dovah Shein HaMiskaven is mutter. And therefore, he holds you could even move the keli while the sparks are in them. And actually, this is a famous discussion that took place between the B'Sam and Rosh. The B'Sam and Rosh has a discussion that there was somebody sitting at a table on Shabbos, and sparks flew on the table on Shabbos. And this person, obviously we're referring to a situation where it wasn't a situation of a sakonis nefashis. And the person went and put his finger on those sparks. And he said, they said, how are you allowed to extinguish the sparks in Shabbos? So he said that our Gemara says, in the Tzaitzis, ein b'mamish. So everybody has very big issue with the B'sam Rosh, the Das Torah, in Siman Reish Samechei, Sif Dalid, says that nobody could say that that should be mutter. The only time you could say something is mutter is because of putting the keli to catch the spark, and then the spark's going to go out right away, as Al Gemara says. But to put your finger on a spark and extinguish it and say a svara, Tzaitzis ein b'mamish, is certainly unacceptable. So we learned in the Mishnah, you're not going to put water to catch those sparks, says the Gemara. Our Mishnah seems to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Doma, goyim l'kibu osu. We're going to learn Mitzvah Shem on Daf Kuf Chof Amar Aleph. The Chas V'Shom, there's a fire on Shabbos, and somebody wants to prevent the fire from spreading. He could take kalim, whether they're full of water or not full of water, and when the water hits those kalim, they'll burst and extinguish the fire. Rabbi Yossi, that's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi says you may not do that when you have kli cheres that are new, full of water, because certainly they can't withstand the heat of the fire, and they're certainly going to extinguish the fire. And the Gemara explains the machlokes. Rabbi Yossi holds that a gram kibui is aser, and the Chama hold that a gram kibui is mutter. It seems that our Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to put from before Shabbos a keli with water that the sparks will fall into are following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that gram kibui is usher. Says the Gemara, v'tizbro, is that a sensible explanation? Eimadam Rabbi Yossi, when did Rabbi Yossi say that gram kibui is usher? That's on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to set up kalim in that way. Be'erev Shabbos mi'omer, did he say that you may not do gram kibui, set it up from Erev Shabbos? V'chitei mahachanami. And if you want to argue that our Mishnah is talking about Shabbos, v'tanya, the Mishnah said, noisa keli tachsanel kabel netzoitzis b'Shabbos. V'ein tzarech loimer, the Brisa says, v'ein tzarech loimer b'Erev Shabbos. V'lo yitein l'toich ha'mayim neshe mechaba b'Erev Shabbos, v'ein tzarech loimer b'Shabbos. So we see that the halach of our Mishnah is even on Erev Shabbos. And Erev Shabbos is not where Rabbi Yossi was concerned for gram kibui. Alamar Ravashi, afilo teim rabbonin. Our Mishnah to follow even the opinion of Rabbanan, who normally hold that gram kibui is mutter. Hocha, why is our Mishnah different? What you're doing here is that you're certainly making that the fire should go out. And if you would do that on Shabbos, even the Rabbanan would agree that that's not gram kibui. It's mechaba. And therefore, since it's considered an act of kibui, because the sparks will certainly go out, the halach is you're not allowed to even do it on Erev Shabbos, a gzeira that you may do it on Shabbos. But it's not similar to putting a keli by the Deleka, which is only gram kibui, because it's the fire that's going to break the kalim, and then the water that's going to come out. And therefore, the situations are not comparable. Ask Tosfos a question. If there's an isser to do anything which could be considered a gram kibui, and in that which is considered making a kibui, and that's also even on Erev Shabbos, many people who light oil cups, this goes back to the type of Tosfos, so they have big cups, they don't want to fill up the entire cup with water, with oil, so they put water at the bottom of the cup, oil at the top, oil and water don't mix, so the oil always remains atop. And then on Shabbos, when the oil, when the flame hits, when the wick hits the water, it goes out. So why is that mutter? So Tosfos says, the person who's doing this is not intending to make that the oil, that the fire should go out. He just wants to lift the oil. And since all he wants to do is lift the oil, that's not usur. The Azarua says that the isur of kibui or gram kibui is only when the candle is already on. And then to do something that will make that it should go out is usur. But if you put the water and the oil before you light the candle, then there's no isur. That's not the situation of that's usur. According to Azarua, the din of our Mishnah, that you can't put a bowl with water next to your candelabra, is only if the lit candle is already lit. But if the candle is not lit already, then even the din of our Mishnah would be mutter. The Rosh says that in the case of the oil with the water, since that wick will eventually go out, it just may go out later if you have no water, that's why it's mutter. Here there's nothing that's going to cause the spark to go out, that unless it falls into the water, and therefore you can't compare the two cases.